There we go. When I was in college attending church, we had a pastor that always began with a verse from Isaiah, a verse I'd just like to read this morning. I just thought of it, and so I'd like to share it. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. The grass dries up, the flowers wither, but the decree of our God is forever reliable. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this book. This book which gives to us instructions for life, reveals to us your character, reveals to us how to live, who you desire us to be. And Father, we give you praise for just that. Give you thanks today as well for those who have sacrificed so much on our behalf to allow us to be here this morning, to meet freely, to be able to go through your word and proclaim it publicly. Father, we pray that you would be with the families today as they are remembering the losses of loved ones, from grandparents to mothers and fathers to sons and daughters, grandchildren. We pray that you'd be with them today, granting them strength, granting them peace. And Father, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Michelle had asked me last Sunday, or the Sunday before last week, what I thought I would be preaching on today. I told her I was leaning on preaching about marriage, is what I was leaning towards. And this is something that's completely off track of what Paul has been doing. I realize that. Paul's going to be picking up finances again next week. I'm just sort of interjecting my little bit here, and then we'll finish my little bit at the end of June. So I had to be different, so I'm sorry. On Tuesday, we were headed back from Sarah's concert. Sarah played at UW-Sheboygan. And we were headed back, and Michelle was asking me if I knew for sure what I was going to be preaching on, you know, what passage and stuff. I told her, I says, I think I'll be preaching on Proverbs 31. And her immediate response was, and I have permission to say this, I asked already, I'm not getting up at 4 a.m. to cook you breakfast. I took that as a word of warning to be careful this morning about what I preached. So, and having graduated from a Christian college, of course, she ran across this passage many times. It was preached to her many times by both men and by women. And some of the things that were said, I don't think were probably correct in what they were saying and emphasizing. So, I'm speaking cautiously and from her words of wisdom this morning. This morning, as we go through this passage, I'm going to present something that's quite different from the norm, I think, when we go through Proverbs 31. Many who would read the proverb would venture to say and comment that the passage was written to women. Because, after all, it does describe a woman, doesn't it? So, with that said, you know, every woman should strive to be exactly like the woman described here, right? Right, ladies? No, not really. I would not say that every woman would have to follow exactly to the word of what this woman is doing. But within this particular passage, we gain some valuable insights as to the character quality of an excellent wife, an excellent woman. What is against the norm, however, is that this passage is not particularly written to women. Throughout the whole book of Proverbs, who is the person who is being addressed? And even within this particular chapter, there's a certain person who's being addressed. Who is that? My son. Yes, this was a proverb that was written to a son, which is quite unique. Over 20 times, my son is addressed. One man writes, he says that its main purpose then is to exhort married men to appreciate the worth of their wives and to give them the freedom to function in accordance with their gifts and talents in keeping with their God-given role as a wife. This passage was written more to instruct men to become better husbands than it was to help women become better wives. Certainly, however, there is an example here of character qualities for women to follow. And so this morning we're going to be looking at the character of a godly wife, but also we're going to be looking at the responsibility of men as well as husbands. So if you haven't turned to Proverbs 31, go ahead and turn there now. As we're going through this, I'm going to be skipping around to different verses. So if I lose you, I'm sorry. I'm going to try and point to where we're headed next, but just to warn you that we're going to be moving around a little bit. First off, looking at verse 30 at the end of the chapter, we begin to see the character qualities of the excellent wife. Verse 30 says, "Charm is deceitful." I'm reading from the NET translation this morning. "Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised." First off, an excellent wife is a godly woman. Proverbs write that beauty is fleeting. Charm is deceitful. Our physical appearances do not last. They don't. That's evident by a fact I found this week. CNN reported that in 2010, women and men spent $10 billion on cosmetic procedures and surgery. $10 billion. You know, we turn on our TVs and immediately we are bombarded with the latest and greatest cosmetic for ladies. If you're ever up at 2 a.m. in the morning, not most of you are, I hope not. When I get back from a call, I usually sit downstairs for a little while to get myself calmed down, and there's always those infomercials on. And it's always the latest and greatest new machine, exercise machine, to get you ripped in 30 days. You know. And then, of course, at the bottom it says, "Don't expect these results." But our world has become so focused on something that is fleeting. Something that Proverbs says is deceitful. They become so focused on that that they have forgotten the most important part, the soul. The external appearance, the word fleeting there literally means to flee as a vapor. And yet that is what our world holds on to so tightly. Now the writer, of course, is not dismissing beauty. He's giving us a proper perspective. He's redirecting our focus that in looking at a woman, looking at a wife, the most important thing, the one thing that matters most, is whether or not she fears the Lord. Because the physical qualities do not endure as do those qualities that the fear of the Lord produces. The woman who fears the Lord is one who recognizes God's character and responds in reverence, in trust, in worship, in obedience, and in service. So first of all, ladies, I ask, which is more important to you? And as we're covering this, at the same time, I feel that it is very important to address not only the women, but also the young men and young ladies as well. Because when we're looking at a life mate, what is most important to you? Is it the external appearance that is the only determining factor of whether or not a person is dateable material, so to speak? Now, am I saying, you know, that finding someone you desire is not important? Absolutely not. But someone who does not fear the Lord will not have the same foundation and the same principles that you hold to as does someone who fears the Lord. Paul warns in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 about unequal bonding. and the consequences that it can have to our faith. Should we marry such a person? Turn to verse 10, if you would, please. Verse 10, we find that the excellent wife is a woman of unusual character. The writer says, who can find a wife of noble character? The word noble there denotes wealth, strength, ability, valor, and dependability. The NASB translates it literally, the excellent wife. It's the same word used of Ruth in Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. A woman who was a foreigner whose husband had died, her father-in-law had died, and yet she continues to stay with her mother-in-law. She ends up providing for her mother-in-law, going out and gathering grain. Proverbs says that this woman should be admired for her character. Such a woman is not easy to find, Proverbs says, but when she is found, such a woman is of inestimable value. As you see just a few words later, it says, for her value is far more than rubies. Ladies, do you possess such a character? You know, as Christians in general, we are called to live differently than our world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us that we are now new creatures in Christ. It says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Ladies, you should be women of unusual character, noble women. Women whom the world can look at as examples and say, you know, there is something truly unique about her. On a broader scale, all people, young men, women, men in general, children, married couples, husbands, are all to have such a character. We're all to be different as we live as people who exemplify the desire of God's heart. Verse 11, just after verse 10 there, follow along with me as we read those verses. Verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband has confidence in her, and he has no lack of gain. She brings him good and not evil all the days of her life. The excellent wife is also a woman who is completely trustworthy. Her husband has complete trust in her. He trusts her in her good sense, in her loyalty, and in her work. He has no lack of gain. The wife's capabilities in business and domestic matters guarantee a rich profit and inspire the confidence of her husband. She is the continual source of benefits for him. She is truly a helpmate, which is, of course, God's design for her. Ladies, again, are you trustworthy? Another question. I know I keep asking questions, but these statements demand that. You know, this is an area, trust, of course, is an area that covers many different territories, from fidelity to business to domestic matters. There's something that's very important to realize in the nature of whether or not you are trustworthy. We must remember that trust is earned. It's something that comes as a result of a proven track record of faithfulness. And when that trust is destroyed, you're not starting from zero again. Pastor Paul and I have talked about this many times. You're not starting from zero again. You're starting from a negative standpoint. And trying to build that up again is only going to be the result of a lot of time of proven faithfulness again. Those are words to remember in every relationship about trust. Perhaps you're saying, ladies, well, my husband doesn't trust me no matter what I do, no matter how faithful I am. That's something we're going to deal with when we look at husbands a bit later. The excellent wife is also diligent and hard working. Several weeks ago, if you remember, we looked at the sluggard in Proverbs in chapter 6. We found out that he was a procrastinator, that he was lazy, that he made excuses and rationalized his way out of work, took the path of least resistance, and he wasted God-given resources and opportunities. But this, the woman described here in Proverbs 31 is certainly no sluggard. Verse 13, we read, it says, she obtains wool and flax, and she is pleased with the work of her hands. She works with her hands, verse 13. Verses 15 through 18, we see that she rises early and retires late. Verses 21 and 25, she prepares for the future. Verse 27, she has no idle time. She's diligent. She is hard working. In a modern day context, this would be a woman this woman would not be sitting around the house watching a soap opera in the afternoon. She avoids laziness. The proverb talks about the fact that she avoids the bread of idleness, avoids eating that, which literally means to indulge in laziness. The bread of idleness. She's diligent. She's hardworking. You know, now I'm not saying that that women should and wives should never have any personal time or time off or how did I put it here? Time for yourself. You know, I'm not saying that you have to get up at 4 a.m. and cook your husband pancakes and eggs every morning to make sure that he has breakfast. My mom, when we were growing up, there's the box of cereal. You know where the milk is. But what is being pictured, though, we can take this and in applying it to our lives, what is pictured is a woman who is not a sluggard, who is not lazy. She is truly a helpmate to her husband. She is an asset to him. You know, and I think husbands, we need to be reminded, of course, that our wives are not slaves. They're not our servants. They are a partner and a helpmate. That's what God's designed them for. You know, oftentimes there's the joke about, you know, you come home and the husband's all exhausted and the wife's comment is, well, you know, you weren't here today. You don't know how my day went with the kids. Kids can be just as exhausting taking care of them. And her work at home may have been more exhausting than your day at work taking care of them. So just a note to remember there. Verse 26. Go ahead and look to verse 26 if you will. Verse 26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. The excellent wife is also wise. As I read this verse this week, my thoughts turned immediately to my wife and to my mom. Both of these women have been great sources of wisdom in my life. My wife, Michelle, has been one of the greatest assets for me in ministry. Her ability, the whole women's intuition thing, you know, that's true. For those of you who don't know that. She is able to see things and come up with ideas that I, in my wildest dreams, never would have come up with. And it has benefited me so much in ministry. Listening to her wisdom and words of advice, I know, has saved me more than one time in ministry from opening my mouth and inserting my foot. Men, listen to the advice of your wives. Children and teenagers, listen to your moms. They do know what they're talking about. You know, you may think that she's wacky. You may think that she's crazy. You may think that she's old and outdated and has no idea what you're going through. She does. She was once a kid too. She knows exactly what you're feeling. I know my mom gave me many valuable words of wisdom that kept me from running into problems and pitfalls in my road of life. The excellent wife is a woman of wisdom. Verse 20. It says she extends her hand to the poor and reaches out her hand to the needy. The excellent wife is a woman marked by generosity. My dad often joked when I was growing up that God had paired he and my mother together to keep my mom from giving everything away. And she would. Her heart was so generous, and she was always willing to help in any need. It didn't matter whether or not she was too busy. It didn't matter whether or not she had the money. It didn't matter whether or not she was going to be up at all hours of the night to get it done. She would find the time and the resources to help. She would even, I remember as growing up, she would sacrifice so that others could go without. Or she would sacrifice so that others would have something so that others could be helped. I remember as a kid, she would need new pairs of shoes and clothes, which we got her for Christmas because she wouldn't get them for herself. She would continue to sacrifice and get a little bit more use out of them so her kids and her husband could have what they needed. You know, you often hear it said that men marry women with similar qualities. I had to qualify that. To their mothers. Some ladies may say that you're nothing like your husband's wife. That statement isn't always true, but in mine it is. My wife is very, very generous, just like my mother. She too would give everything away if she could. She's very generous. She always wants to help in a time of need. She always has to bake more than what is needed. I keep having to tell her, dear, we don't need 3 courses. She comes here at church, but she does it anyway. I've given up. She has she feels deeply for the needs of others, sympathizes with them. I always joke with her that she has a squishy heart. If she can find a way to help, she will. Verse 26. I know we were just there, but another point from that verse. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom and loving instruction is on her tongue. The excellent wife is gracious in what she says. Literally, the loving instruction means teaching of kindness, the NASB says. She is wise and gracious in her speech. She uses good, practical common sense in her discussions, and her instruction is reliable. Albert Barnes in his notes writes these words. He says, the words which come from the lips of the true wife are as a law giving guidance and instruction to those who hear them. But the law is not proclaimed in its sterner aspects, but is one in which mercy tempers justice. And love, the fulfilling of the law, is seen to be the source from which it springs. She instructs in a gentle manner, and her teaching is both edifying and encouraging. I can't count the number of times that Michelle has calmed my frustrated and sometimes angry spirit by gracious words and wisdom. My mother did the same many times when I was growing up. How a few words would calm the situation down, would help me to see straight and think straight again. A bit of review. The excellent wife, she's a godly woman. She's a woman of unusual character who is completely trustworthy. She is diligent and hardworking, wise, marked by generosity, and gracious in what she says. Now to the men. Ladies, your part is over. Now to the men. What about the exemplary husband? Who is that? You know, it's not, as I was thinking about this week, it's not what our society thinks is the ideal man. Proverbs doesn't say that he's 6'2", blonde hair, blue eyes, he can lift a car with his pinky, and has millions. And yeah, great. Thank goodness for that. Yeah. We'd all fail. No. He's not, what's the coffee? He's not Johan from the whatever coffee commercial that is. What does Proverbs say about this man behind the woman, the exemplary wife? Go ahead and turn to verse 10 again. Verse 10. We find there that the exemplary husband truly appreciates his wife. Verse 10 says, "Who can find a wife of noble character? For her value is far more than rubies." That some translations say pearls. Some say corals. The reference there is to a precious stone. Something of great, great value. And again, it's not saying that such a woman cannot be found, but that such a woman is of great and surpassing value. In fact, I don't know if you've noticed this, as you have been reading through Proverbs, but this particular section begins with praise of such a woman and ends with praise of such a woman. Men, you know, we can't... This was a statement that somebody had noted here, that we can't expect to be the right kind of husband until we first come to truly appreciate the qualities of the wife God has given to us. So I ask, you know, do we appreciate our wives? And with that, a qualifier, do they know it? Michelle and her dad and I were having a conversation one time. I think it was in the old house, over on the home farm yet. And we were talking about the fact that, you know, husbands telling their wives that they love them and that they appreciate them. And her dad joked, he says, "Well, I told her I loved her on our wedding day. Isn't that enough? She knows that I love her." You know, and now while he was joking, we know that he was joking, but sadly that is the mindset of some men. She knows I appreciate her. Well, when asked, you know, if they ever tell her, well, no. She just knows. She just knows that I love her and that I appreciate her. Men, you need to tell your wives that you appreciate them. You need to tell them that you love them. They need to hear it on a daily basis. They need to hear that you appreciate their work and how God has made them. Name a quality that you appreciate about them. That means even more. It's part of security, if I remember correctly, in their character. You know, and I'm going to use myself as an example here. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. I'm not the perfect example by any means. Am I? Silence. You know, but I really do tell Michelle that I appreciate the things that she does around the house. All of her hard work on the behalf of not only of our household, but others. I try every morning before I leave to work to tell her I love her. And if I miss her, it doesn't always happen. If I miss because she works at 4 a.m. in the morning on Wednesdays and Fridays, I try to leave a note if I miss her before I leave. If I don't see her. Every so often I'll get some flowers or a favorite candy unexpectedly. You know, and that's something that we as men need to be putting into practice, that we need to do regularly. She needs to be reassured that she is valued by you, that you truly appreciate her. Perhaps you don't appreciate your wife. That's the flip side of the coin. My first question would be, why? Why don't you appreciate her? You know, do you realize the gift that God has granted you? You know, as we turn back, as we look at Genesis and Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, Adam's first sight of Eve, he says, "This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken out of man." He had been searching for someone who was comparable to him. He had been searching for a partner. Couldn't find one. So God made him one. He says, "At last, I have found one." Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, a couple of chapters back, says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." After wisdom, within the book of Proverbs, the best of God's blessings is a good wife. If we look to the New Testament, we see the words of Christ in Ephesians chapter 5, 25 and 28. It says, "Husbands, love your wives as just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." We see the value in that verse. Christ practicing sacrificial love for the church. There's value that he saw in the church, and he's telling husbands, Paul, as he's writing there, is telling husbands, do the same. Practice that same sort of love towards your wives. That same sacrificial love. Men, if you don't appreciate your wives, I challenge you to spend some serious time this week in prayer, asking God to change your attitude and begin to soften your heart and recognize the value of your wife. And a challenge for all of us husbands to do this week, do something that shows your wife that you appreciate her. This week I'm going to be driving for a number of hours to get her to Kansas to see her folks again. You know, we don't have to, there's this, I think this mindset that we have to go and spend hundreds of dollars before they appreciate the gift. Absolutely not. The small things sometimes mean the most. A handwritten note. An unexpected call in the middle of the day to say, I missed you. An email. Something to show you appreciate her. Verse 11. I know we read this already. It says, but the heart of her husband has confidence in her, and he has no lack of gain. An excellent husband, or an exemplary husband, is one who has complete confidence in his wife and expresses it. You know, her husband has no fears or suspicions as she is busy about her work, because he knows she has character and will do nothing but good for him and her children. In the verses that follow, the woman is described as running her household and her business, and she proves to be an able woman. And that fact, the fact that she is capable, inspires the confidence in her by her husband. I got convicted a little bit this past week as I was reading this and in preparing this sermon. I dealt with this last fall. Michelle had come to me, I don't remember, when was it? Last June. Oh, it was a long time ago then. I didn't realize it was that long. I only remembered till September. My mind. If I don't have it written down, I forget it. She wanted to start selling Pampered Chef. And admittedly, I was doubtful. I was doubtful that it was ever going to take off, that she was ever going to make any money at it. And I kept dragging my feet for months without making a decision. She'd meet with this lady, and the ladies call her up and say, are you going to sign up with me and start selling stuff? And she said, well, my husband still needs to make a decision yet. And I'd put it off for another month, and she'd get another phone call, and so on and so forth. You know, I feared, part of the fear was the fact that the starting kit is, what, like $200 or $300 or something like that? It helped that she was getting a discount when she started, but still. I didn't want to have to spend all that money into something that was going to end up being a waste and never going to end up using it. I mean, we would have it, but, you know, she has piles of kitchen stuff already, so why does she need more? But I finally decided. What's that? Yeah, it's going to be a long drive to Illinois, to Kansas. Yeah. She said that she could do it, though. And so finally, I put my trust in her. I had confidence that she could get it going. The first month, she had 4 parties. Since then, she has had at least 2 a month. And from each one of those parties that she had, she makes another contact, which gets her another one the next month. God is good. Exactly. She made it work. You know, men, do we have complete confidence in our wives? Or do we feel that we have to constantly be looking over their shoulder to make sure they're doing it in the right way? I know some men who have absolutely no confidence in their wives at all. Who, you know, they would degrade them, tell them, you know, you're not going to amount to anything, this is never going to work. Who constantly watch and check up on them, on their wives, out of jealousy, out of control, to make sure perhaps that their wife is not having any other relationship with another man, is doing every task exactly the way that they would want it done. You know, if that describes any of us this morning, it sounds like there's something deeper that we personally as men need to deal with. It sounds like an issue of control and trust that we need to bring before the Lord. Be dealing it with Him. And as we're, you know, we're thinking about this, men, your wife is not going to do a task exactly the way you will. I found that time and time again, and it's been one of my struggles. She doesn't do it the way I wanted it done. But it got done. So what does it matter? The end result was the same. What does it matter if it took her a little longer or she didn't do it exactly the way I did it? It doesn't matter. She thinks differently. That's how she was created, as a woman. That's who God made her to be. So we need to place our confidence and trust in our wives. Lastly, verses 28 through 31. Verses 28 and 29, we see the husband praising the noble woman. Literally, this is the last point. Men, as husbands, we need to give her the praise that she deserves. We need to appreciate her value. Verse 28 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her." Verse 29, "Many daughters have done valiantly, but you surpass them all." When I read that this week, I thought to myself, what an exclamation. Basically saying, you are the greatest wife in the world. There is no one who compares to you. What a comment of praise. Verse 31, as we look there, it says, "Give her credit for what she has accomplished. Let her works praise her in the city gates." An interesting note, I was reading this verse this week and some of the comments on it. And a man wrote, he says, "Now who, I would ask, is at the city gates? It is, of course, her husband. The godly husband is at the city gates in large part because of the godly wife who is behind him. It is there in the city gates, in the public, that the godly husband should praise his wife." Husbands, do you praise your wives publicly? Did I do a good job this morning? There was an older couple when I was growing up, in their late 70s, early 80s. Who would come over, they were family friends, they would talk with us quite frequently, and we would be sitting there, and I don't know how it always happened, but I'd be sitting next to him. And he'd lean over to me and he says, "Isn't my wife beautiful?" Just loud enough for her to hear it and everybody else to hear it, but in that whispery tone. And then immediately she would scold him. "Dwight, stop it." And her face would turn beet red every time. Every time. It was like there were two teenagers again. My dad taught me much about this by way of example as well, growing up. He was not perfect by any means, especially when I was younger. This was a lesson I think he learned more as he grew in the Lord and as I grew older. He began to change, and I began to see the appreciation that he had for my mom and the ways in which he expressed it. Not only to us as kids, but also to others as well. Men, do you praise your wives? Do you give them the praise they deserve? Does the world know how much you value her? How special she is to you? May her works, I commented at the end, may her works be known at your city gates, so to speak. Well, that was a little different in Proverbs 31, wasn't it? It isn't a proverb about just women. It's about men as well. From it, we find the qualities of the excellent wife, but also the exemplary husband. A bit of a challenge for you this week. I challenge you. And this was the Jewish tradition that I found out. That it was actually tradition for Jewish husbands and their children to recite this before on this Friday night meal before Sabbath. It was tradition to recite this before the wives. Not that I'm saying that you would recite this every meal this week, but you know, take some time to read through these 22 verses this week. Take some time daily, both men and women, to read through them and find the character qualities and the responsibilities that we both have as a result of these words here. Remind yourself of the qualities of an excellent wife. Remind yourself, men, of the responsibilities of an exemplary husband. And I pray that not only today, but throughout the week, that this proverb would continue to be a challenge and help us grow in our marriage relationships as husbands and wives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much for the words of wisdom contained within these pages. I know I myself have much to learn from them yet. We thank you for the guidance that they give us in our relationships, in our emotions, and how we deal with others, and our habits and behaviors. Father, we pray that we would strive to follow them. Grant us the strength to do so. We know sometimes it is so hard to go about changing habits that have been ingrained in us for so long. Grant us the strength to do so this week. By your Spirit, be changing us, be molding and shaping us, be softening our hearts, doing a mighty work within us. Father, we thank you and we give you praise in your heavenly name. Amen.